Good morning. Let's pray together for a moment. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our gathering here at St. Nick's this morning. Please help us to listen to your word. Please use us and lead us. Amen. Well, when you think of St. Nick's, is it they or we? Here's what I mean. Which of the following would you say? St. Nick's is great. Their morning services are uplifting and their provision for children is good. Although they could be more concerned to tell those outside the church of the good news of Jesus. Or, St. Nick's is great. Our morning services are uplifting and our provision for children is good. Although we could be more concerned to tell those outside the church of the good news of Jesus. Is it they or we? Do you view the church as something other than you, something you go to? Or do you view the church as you, together with your brothers and sisters? Do you attend or do you belong? Being Christian is all about travelling with others. And that's why our fellowship together is a key area in our vision document. Now that may be great news for you. You may love being with people, you feel energized by them, and you're happy to share something of your life with people at church. Or you may be a very private person and you find it difficult to get to know people. I know a few people who really don't like the time over coffee after the service. You find that many of your fellow Christians are a bit weird, or you feel that your faith doesn't really fit. So actually for you, church without other people would be great. I once asked my daughter Beth a few years ago as a 14-year-old, what is it that puts you off church? And her answer was, well, it's the people. Then I said, what is it then that keeps you going to church? And her answer was, well, it's the people. People frustrate us and they encourage us. They can put us off living as a Christian or they can spur us on in our walk with God. But when we become a Christian, the new identity we have is that I becomes we. We are not meant to live the Christian life in isolation. You certainly won't thrive and probably won't survive as a follower of Jesus outside the church. And it was and remains the key way that God reaches our world today. The Bible uses different pictures to describe the church, a family, the bride of Christ, living stones being built into a temple. In our vision document, we even had a picture of our own that we're an orchestra, not an audience. And then here in our reading, the church is the body of Christ. At our services today, we're looking at two key passages that give this picture of the church and finding out what they can say to us here at St. Nick's as we look in at our fellowship and seek to nurture the Christian life we share and celebrate together here. So if you'd like to, it'd be really helpful to keep your Bible open at 1 Corinthians 12 on page 1153. The first two verses, verses 12 to 13, show us that we are many, but one. Paul uses the image of a human body here. One human body is one unit, but it has many parts within that unit, and those parts form one body. And this is the case, Paul says, not with the church, but with Jesus. In order for God to accomplish his work on earth 2,000 years ago, Jesus came in a body made of flesh and blood. In order to continue that work today, Jesus has a body made of living human beings. It's not that the church is like the body of Christ, but that it is the body of Christ. In Jesus' body, the church, there are many parts, and yet the church is one. All Christians share as parts of this one body through this one spirit, We're Christians because the Holy Spirit has touched our lives and brought us into a relationship with Jesus, and so then with each other. It's not because we've had the outward ceremony of baptism. Here it's talking about spiritual baptism, where the Holy Spirit has brought us new life, a clear move from the old life to the new, and he continues to fill us. Whoever we are, it's the same Holy Spirit who is at work in our lives, many parts brought into one body. Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. It had 250,000 free persons within it and another 400,000 slaves. Its location acted as a crossroads for travellers and traders. And so it was a place where different cultures and religions collided. And so the church too reflected the makeup of Corinth. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, they formed one body. Like the church in Corinth, we are a body made up of many parts. For those of us who are Christians here today, we have all been touched by this same Spirit, and let's continue to drink of him together. Whatever our culture and heritage, whether we're rich or struggle to make ends meet, whatever our background, we are the body of Christ. Jesus' body here on earth, he has already made us one, and we must allow him to continue to build us together. We are many, yet one. But we are also different, yet valued. Paul goes on to use the human body to show us truths about life in the body of Christ. And I realise as I've looked at this passage that it answers some of the feelings I've had over the years about my own place in the church, and maybe they'll be familiar to you too. Sometimes I've felt totally useless and inferior in the church. It's been very easy in my life for me to look at others around me and feel that I don't really belong, that I have little to offer, that I'm not that valuable. And that's the problem of the parts of the body in Paul's parable. In Middle Eastern traditional culture, feet are considered to be really unclean. So the foot here has an inferiority complex and wishes that it was a hand. Hands had greater honour in that culture, although the left hand was not considered as clean as the right hand, which is a shame for me as a left-hander. The foot feels worthless. It's a bit the same for the ear, who was not honoured in that culture as much as the eye. What Paul wants them to know is that regardless of how rubbish they feel, their thoughts and feelings actually have nothing to do with their value to the body. Although the foot and the ear say that they do not belong to the body, the fact is that they still do. Paul is wanting Christians in the church in Corinth to hear the truth, which is that the world may judge you as being worthless or of little value. Indeed, other Christians may make you feel that. But the truth is that in this new community, we are all one body. We are the body of Christ, and each part is of absolute value. We all belong. A number of years ago, when I attended a church a bit bigger than this one, it used to drive me crazy that after being there for 18 months, people still asked us if we were new. It would have been so easy to have crept away and never gone back. And certainly on a Sunday, nobody would have noticed. But thankfully, by that time, we were in a small group. And so it was a way of knowing that I would be missed if I didn't show up. And there were a small number of people who knew me better and encouraged me when I thought I had little to offer. The problem with larger churches is that it can be difficult to know and be known on a Sunday, which is why here at St. Nick's we would encourage you, if you're not already, to be part of some kind of small group so that you can grow in your faith and value and be valued by a few people and feel a greater sense of belonging. It's also why we're keen to enable those who are new to the church to be warmly welcomed and to feel part of the family quickly. We are different, yet valued. This reading teaches us that we're all different in the church and that we will remain so. I remember when I started at university, I fully expected, in my naive way, that because we were all probably on a fairly equal footing intellectually and academically, that the Christians would all be similar too. Probably a bit monochrome or beige. Of course, that wasn't what I found at all. There were outgoing Christians, quiet Christians, ones who were quirky, ones who were normal, with all sorts of different things to offer. All had value in the body of Christ. We are different, and we remain different. You can rest easy if you think that somehow, in becoming a Christian and getting involved in church life, you will lose your individuality, perhaps be squeezed through a Christian sausage machine. You won't. You will remain joyfully you, with God making you more and more the you you are made to be, as different from others as the hand is from the foot, able to offer something that another part of the body cannot offer. You are unique, irreplaceable, unrepeatable, different, yet so valued. And because everyone is valued, jump ahead to verses 25 and 26. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers with it, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices. We are to value and care for each other, such that we enter into each other's pain and joy. Now, this automatically happens in our physical bodies. When I have a mouth ulcer, such a tiny thing can be so sore that my whole body feels run down by it. Just this week, here at St. Nick's, we've had a really concrete example of one part of the body suffering and other parts suffering with it. For those of you who know Pip Peacock, when the news of her accident emerged this week, many of us here suffered with her and her family, and it was a natural thing to come together to pray. Likewise, when one part of the body is honoured and praised, we're to be humble enough to rejoice in someone else's blessing. And that's not always easy to do, to be able to be genuinely glad when it's not all about me. I wonder if we know and value one another well enough to be able to rejoice and suffer together. Sometimes as clergy, it can take a while to learn of someone's joys or sorrows. And that's another reason why small group settings are so useful. And we have a great pastoral care team. But we certainly don't get it right all the time. But we do desire a life together where the parts of the body have equal concern for each other. So we are many, yet one. We are different, yet valued. And we are diverse, yet needed. So look with me at verses 21 onwards. This talks about another emotion that can be reflected in church life, and that I've known in me when I've entered into that deadly but ultimately pointless comparison of myself with others. It's feeling self-sufficient or proud. Here in Paul's parable, the eye and the head say to the hand and the feet, I don't need you. I can function perfectly well without you. There's the I, not the we, mentality again. It's possible that Paul is drawing on a fable that goes back to 500 years before Jesus, and it went like this. Some of the parts of the body began to think that it was unfair that they should have to worry and to work to provide everything for the stomach, while the stomach just sat there with nothing to do but to enjoy all that they brought to it. So they conspired together and agreed that the hands would no longer carry food to the mouth would no longer open for food, and the teeth would no longer grind up what they received. The stomach growled in protest, but the limbs remained firm. Soon, though, they began to feel weak, until they, the stomach and the entire body, nearly died from starvation. It had become clear that even the seemingly lazy stomach had its own task to perform, and returned as much as it received by digesting the food brought to it and returning nourishment to the limbs. The limbs learned that they needed the stomach. And if they did not work together, the body would not flourish. And so it's true for us in the church. We need each other. Everyone has a part to play, and all of those parts are needed. If we criticize each other, we're simply criticizing a part of ourselves. We are a diverse bunch, but we all have unique gifts given to us by God. And you will exercise your gift in the way that only you can exercise it. It's very easy to look round St. Nick's and think that it all runs smoothly, and so conclude that there are no gaps for the contribution that you think you can make. I can assure you that that is not the case. And you have something to offer that is so needed. Even if you're not as strong as you once were, even if you think what you do is just ordinary, even if what you do is behind the scenes and not obvious, Paul says you are indispensable and that you should be treated with honour. There are a group of people in this church and in many others who I call the prayer warriors, who may now not be able to join in with church life as much as they would like or once did, but whose prayers are absolutely vital to the life of the church. When it comes to our physical bodies, much of what they do, and often the most important things, are what we cannot see. And where our body is weak or sensitive, we treat it carefully. So we are diverse, yet we need each other. And that's true not just here at St. Nick's, but for the body of Christ across Newbury, and particularly for us over at our sister church, St. Mary's in Speen. We need each other, and it's exciting that one of our 7 vision goals involves working with them specifically. It's easy for a church that is blessed with resources to become self-sufficient and not think that other churches have anything to offer that will build us up. And it's also true globally. As we've heard, there's a team currently in Nasutu supporting our partner church there. But it's not one way. They too will come back encouraged by the enlarged picture they gain of what God is doing in his church across the world. Paul goes on to list a number of spiritual gifts that people may exercise in the church. It's not a full list. And he makes it clear by the questions at the end that people do not all have the same gifts, and so we need each other. The end of chapter 12 leaves us poised to launch into the famous hymn of love in chapter 13. Perhaps spend a moment reading it later today. We are eagerly to desire spiritual gifts, but that goes alongside following the way of love as we walk together. We are many, yet one. We are different, yet valued. Diverse, yet needed. Last week, Will ended his sermon with a challenge and a prayer, so I thought I would do the same this week. The challenge is in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That's true of you and me, if we're Christians here today, regardless of how we feel about ourselves or about the church. What part are you playing? What part is God calling you to play? And the prayer. This is based on the famous prayer, you may know it, of Teresa of Avila, who was alive in the 16th century. So let's pray this together. Let's pray. Christ has no body but ours. No hands, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Ours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Christ has no body now on earth but ours. Ours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Ours are the hands, ours are the feet, ours are the eyes. We are his body. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Build us and use us, we pray. Amen.